WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former President Joe Biden and family considering treatment options after he was diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer. Oncologist Tanya Dorf says Biden and other prostate cancer sufferers should have hope.
Patients, even who are diagnosed with more aggressive, more advanced stage disease, can live many years and have good quality of life.
The House Budget Committee's finally passed the president's bill on immigration and tax policy. Speaker Mike Johnson.
Save the largest amount of money that's been saved in at least several decades and probably arguably in the whole history of the country.
President Trump says he'll speak with Russian President Putin later today on a possible ceasefire in Ukraine. Here's Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
The president wants to do it. He wants to do it as soon as feasible. I think the Russian side has also expressed a willingness to do it.
Rubio also met with Zelensky, Ukraine's President Zelensky, in Rome earlier today. He was speaking on CBS's Face the Nation. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. During a House Appropriations Committee hearing, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was questioned about his vaccine views in Washington. Lisa Hale has more.
Wisconsin's 2nd District Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan asked Kennedy if he had a child today, whether he would vaccinate that child against measles. His answer?
For measles, probably for measles. What I would say is my opinions about vaccines are irrelevant.
The exchange came amid ongoing but waning measles outbreaks in the United States. The head of Health and Human Services in President Trump's administration also said,
I don't think people should be taking advice, medical advice, right, from me.
As HHS Secretary, Kennedy's job is to protect the health of Americans and manage various agencies such as the CDC and the FDA.
And May marks two critical statewide observances, Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC Month, and Older Americans Month, as proclaimed by Governor Tony Evers. Joanne Krulatz reports.
This year's Older Americans Month theme, Flip the Script on Aging, encourages all Wisconsinites to challenge age-related biases and recognize that aging is a dynamic, lifelong process.
And Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is sharing a letter sent to the Trump administration urging them not to delay or obstruct federal funding for internet infrastructure projects. The letter warns the administration that disruptions to federal funding for broadband investments will prevent Wisconsin from getting more people connected to affordable and high-speed internet. The letter also notes that the state funding for internet infrastructure expansion was cut by state Republicans in the last biennial budget, who argued federal funding would cover those efforts. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers host Baltimore. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Orioles at AmFam Field tonight for the first of three games. Milwaukee with a 5-2 win over the Twins after losing four of their last five games. I asked Brewers pitcher Trevor Megill, on the 1-10, how badly did they need that win yesterday?
Probably out of 11 out of 10. We really needed that. The energy today and everything just looked and felt great from the first pitch.
Racing, 26-year-old Robert Schwartzman of Israel becoming the first rookie to win the pole position at Indy since 1983.
I don't know what even to say. The car felt amazing. Coming here for my first oval race, I would never even expect myself to be in this position. It's unbelievable, honestly. Big thanks to everybody. Big thanks to the fans who came here, who were cheering for me. Big thanks to y'all.
Schwartzman clocked at 232.7 miles per hour. The Indy 500 coming up on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. A little breezy at times, especially later this afternoon. Tonight, breezy with showers after midnight, or low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care, together, we build better lives.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the new Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, and artist-actor Steve Segrin joins the program. Now that's how you Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Live from Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Sitting in for Pat, we have the one and only Dr. Kristen Lierley.
And the one and only Greg Bach on the board. We're Bach in the dock. Welcome back to the second hour of Civic Media Mornings. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley here with Greg and the incredible, wonderful, award-winning Brittany Merlot.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How was your weekend?
It was a little chilly. Felt a little bit like fall. How about you?
Yeah, I was in the Twin Cities and it was chilly. And I have to tell you, we had this big, the tornado warning came through and I was in a meeting and it was in a room with a bunch of glass windows and it was with doctors from all over the country and all of our phones went off at the same time. And those of us from the Midwest went, oh, we have to go seek shelter. And some of our colleagues from the coasts were like, why? They didn't know. They were not knowledgeable about how to handle a tornado warning because they don't have to deal with it.
Oh my gosh, that's scary. I can't imagine not, you know, being from somewhere else, being in that situation and having the siren sound and your phone going off. Were they okay? Did they kind of panic or what were they like?
We shepherded them to an interior room and they were fine. But yeah, to me, it was really interesting because I grew up with this, you know, growing up in Wisconsin, we would leave our classrooms and go out in the hallway and sit on the floor and, you know, put our head between our knees if we needed to. Like it was, we had a whole, we were trained how to do this and they weren't. And it really reflects how weather is different in different parts of the country.
It sure is. And we're in the hot spot for tornadoes. Tornado Alley is only extending further north, encompassing more and more of Wisconsin. It's becoming more often. I mean, we get an average of 23 tornadoes per year. And last year, we broke records with 45 of them. And now this year, we had 7 twisters on April 28th. And then we had 9 confirmed on Thursday. So that puts our total for this year so far at 16 tornadoes. And June is the peak month, and we're not even there yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really scary. And can you say that this is related to climate change?
I'm going to say 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because to see this warmth, that kind of heat and humidity get here so early in the spring, have so much force packed with it to provide an outbreak of tornadoes in the middle of May. I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened before, but it just keeps happening more and more often, earlier and earlier, and also later and later. And then what, we had a February tornado last year too. So,
right.
I mean,
it's craziness.
That one blew my mind.
Yeah.
That one blew my mind, but now nothing's out of the realm.
I don't want to, this is not to be funny or I'm asking, is there any difference? I know this sounds so dumb. Is there any difference between a tornado and a twister, or is it just different words?
Different words.
Okay.
Same thing.
Because someone once tried to tell me, like, well, a twister is a little bit different. It's not as dangerous as a tornado. I'm like, I don't think that's true, but I'm also not a meteorologist. So I'm not going to be like, you're wrong. Okay. Thank you.
I mean, I would say I'd probably use the word twister for a smaller one just because, but it's the same thing.
Right.
I would just feel weird, though, if it was a major F5 calling it a twister, because that thing's a beast wedge tornado. Yeah.
Tony Zimmerman says one is a movie. Actually, two of them are a movie as well. Boom.
That's right. It's folksy. Twister seems folksy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's old-timey language.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what does it look like for the upcoming week, Brittany? Tell us. Can we anticipate twisters?
Oh, thankfully, no. But we are looking at a lot of rain headed our way after a cold morning. I mean, we have freeze warnings up in the northern part of the state this morning. Dropping to that freezing mark, it is still 34 degrees into Antigo, Medford, places all up north, 46 degrees right now into La Crosse, mostly cloudy for a good chunk of the state and still breezy. Those winds are going to get crazy as we go through tomorrow. They're going to be off the lake too, out of the east. So areas like the Fox Valley, Milwaukee, you're going to be blasted with about 40 mile per hour winds tomorrow. They'll be at about 25 mile per hour today, really ramp up tomorrow, still stay feisty on Wednesday. And then by the end of the week, things start to dry out, calm down, and we start to get a little bit warmer. So highs today by Lake Michigan, you're going to be in the low 50s. Further west in the state, low 60s. But we're looking at spotty sprinkles possible further south this afternoon. And then the rain really rolling in to the western parts of the state tonight. Possibly around 9, 10 o'clock, moving through the rest of the state overnight and through tomorrow. I think in the morning, I think the southern half is definitely going to be soaking in the morning. And then it's going to move up to the north tomorrow afternoon, kind of more widespread and lingering through Wednesday. I mean, we are looking at least 3/4 of an inch of rainfall to potentially an inch for a lot of us, which isn't the worst. We are still kind of abnormally dry. We can take it. I think, you know, as it goes through the entire time frame, it's not going to be an inch all at once in a thunderstorm. So as it slowly accumulates, that'll be good stuff for the farmers.
So hopefully no flooding, but beautiful green grass. That's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
We have Rob from Tigerton saying, good morning, Bach in the Dock and Abe in Tigerton. Is cloudy, 36 degrees, wind chill is 29 yesterday. I mowed my neighbor's yard. She has cancer and having surgery, so I mowed it for the first time. He also goes on to say, today mowing jobs in Wittenberg area and an old schoolhouse where my dad went to school. And he said that my thoughts and prayers are with President Biden and his family for prostate cancer. It's very serious, especially getting to the bones. I had two uncles pass away from prostate cancer. That is very true. Our sincere thoughts, prayers, and good wishes go to the Biden family going through what can only be a very difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we need to talk a little bit more about prostate cancer screening, but we won't subject Brittany to that conversation.
No, not at all. And then finally, Rob says, good morning, award-winning meteorologist and news anchor Brittany Merlot. I have Cellcom. I can text, but still can't get phone calls. That's been an ongoing problem for Rob since like last week, and that did not help with all the storms because people with Cellcom could not get emergency messages either.
That's right.
I think that started on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So this is a long time and ongoing and a bad time, too, like you said.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You think a company would then do something for their customers like, hey, everybody, we're sorry this got messed up. Here's like a month of free service or something. I don't know. You know, customer service.
2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's make it 3.
Do I hear 3 months? Do I hear 3? Do I hear 4? Do I hear 5? How about half a year? Do we have half a year? Half a year? Half a year?
Yes. Sold.
Well, Brittany, thank you so much. And will we see you again in the 8 o'clock hour?
Absolutely. I'll be right back here.
Can we talk about sunshine?
Yes, let's do it.
Oh, yes. All right. Look forward to it. Thank you so much and have a wonderful morning. We'll see you soon.
Sounds good. You too.
All right. Greg.
Doc.
Prostate cancer.
Yes. I mean, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, bad.
No, it's bad.
It's terrible.
It's one of the top two cancers for men. And a lot of men, I think, are reluctant to ask questions about it. And to seek out screening. I mean, men are kind of known to avoid getting healthcare in general.
No, absolutely. No, I am. Absolutely. We are. I mean, it's a whole host of things. There's pride involved. There's, you think you're too busy. I mean, also just let's put in the general dislike for all Americans to go to their doctor or the hospital because they know it's going to be a very huge cost.
Oh yeah, the cost.
But a lot of men, and I'm not gonna. I don't want to speak for any women or others, But I think that a lot of men also have a mentality of like, well, if it doesn't hurt, it's fine. If I'm not in pain, right. It's fine. If my knee hurts a little bit, but I can still walk and do this stuff, it's fine. If it gets worse, I'll go. Instead of being more preventative instead of reactive. So yes, absolutely.
Well, and the preventive visit that everybody should have every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, baseline, every single one of us should have a preventive visit every year. That's where you talk with your healthcare provider about your risks and the things you need to do to mitigate those risks. And that may include vaccines or blood tests or certain physical exams. And it takes into account your family history and the things you're concerned about. There's so much that goes into it. When it comes to prostate screening, this is important. Yeah. There's a blood test. There's an exam, the famous digital rectal exam. Mm-hmm. But you get to have that conversation with your doctor about what the best screening is for you. And especially if you have a family history, and Rob and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, if you've got a family history, it's really, really important to get your screening done and to know what your risks are. President Biden, fortunately, has had this caught at this point. It's an aggressive form. It's a hormone sensitive form, so it may be treatable. And I am not going to tell you that I'm an expert in prostate cancer. I don't see men. But if you are a man, especially if you are a man with a family history of prostate cancer, please do go see your provider. And regardless of who you are, schedule that preventive visit if you have the means to do that. It is so very important.
Yeah, that's something that is, for me, personally, like we just had a full-blown thing, and my mother-in-law was in the hospital for about a week and a half, and it made me realize that I have to go to the doctor. I mean, we're not blood related, but there is stuff in my family that affected her as well. So it's like, all right, I'm at the age now, I need to get that colonoscopy, I need to have an exam of my heart, I need to make sure my heart's in good shape, and just start taking those preventive measures now. So, you know, we hear about, especially men who are like, my dad, you know, died at 51 from a heart attack. It's like, probably because he didn't have a checkup, because he didn't think about it. And a lot of times it can just hit you, because just because you have heart disease doesn't mean that you're in pain or anything. It's just sitting there waiting to happen. And then it does. And so.
And there are so many silent things that contribute to heart disease. Heart disease is the number one killer of Americans, men and women. And things sneak up on you, like diabetes, it sneaks up on you. Blood pressure problems sneak up on you. You don't know if your blood sugars are high. And sometimes it's related to other conditions that you do know about, obesity. Mm-hmm. Other times it's not. So that's why these preventive screenings are so important, to figure out what they are and to treat them early to mitigate the risks down the road.
I think the other thing too is that we're so in the world of movies and TV shows where heart attacks are, my arm is hurting, I'm smelling the toast, and then having a big dramatic heart. That's not how heart attacks happen, too. Heart attacks can, like, be very stealthy, and your doctor will be like, hey, you had a heart attack. You're like, I just feel gross. I feel sick because you're having a heart attack. So that preventative nature, that going to your doctor, is, as you said, Doc, especially if you have a history in your family of certain conditions, it's, you know, it can be part of your physical. Talk to your doctor. Have that conversation. Don't be afraid, especially men. And men, especially, I think, too, make time. Don't allow work or other things to be like, I got to get this thing done and I'll go to the doctor later. No.
That's right.
Make this a priority.
Right. You've got to take care of yourself. That's what I've had this conversation with so many people. We're living in difficult times and it can feel really overwhelming and sad. But number one is you got to take care of you, take care of your health, take care of your people, and then you can start working on the other stuff. But if you're not okay, it's like when you're flying and they say, in the case of a sudden drop in cabin pressure, the oxygen masks may drop from the ceiling. Please place the mask over yourself first. You have to take care of yourself first before you help other people.
That's exactly what my friend will say. She'll remember. Put your oxygen mask on first. And that's her saying, like, yeah, that makes total and complete sense. So
it does. I'm really looking forward to continuing this conversation about guys, because, you know, I've got a bunch of them that I'm raising. But also, we've got in our next hour, Alan Tipple is joining us. But not in our next hour. Later, at 7:30, Alan Tipple is joining us with Men for Choice to talk about how they approach reproductive freedom issues, because it affects men too. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation. Plus, we've got new friends from Ashland who are talking with us about childcare in the 8 o'clock hour. There's so much good stuff on the horizon. I am so excited to be with you this morning. I know Greg is too. We are back in the dock. Pat Kreitler's coming back tomorrow, but for the time being, you've got us for another hour and a half or so. This is Civic Media Mornings with Dr. Kristen Lierley on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Destination marketing organizations are working to ensure Wisconsin tourism is stronger than ever. Their work boosts Wisconsin's economy, supports jobs, and improves our residents' quality of life. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitler on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes with what's going on in Wausau. Well, coming up this Saturday, as it's going to be a special event here in Wausau. It's titled Wausau Unites in Love, Remembering George Floyd Rally for Justice and Freedom, 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the 400 block in downtown Wausau. We're going to talk about this event, talk about the issues as well, as we are nearly 5 years, 5 years this month from the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. But to talk about it, I'm very happy to welcome one of the organizers of the event that is going to be happening in just over a week. We're very happy to welcome Latanya Campbell. And Latanya, first of all, thank you for spending some time with us here today.
Oh, thank you for having me and publicizing this amazing event.
Well, let's start with the event itself, and then we're going to talk, I think, maybe bigger picture. Coming up in just over a week, it's this event. Could you tell us a little bit about the event, how it came to be, and what you're hoping for coming up in about, 8 days' time as we hear this interview?
Yes. So I was approached by some community members, part of NAOMI, wanting to do something in remembrance of George Floyd. They wanted to bring awareness around his death and kind of see where we're at today, if things have gotten better, if things have gotten worse. And so with that idea, I was like, well, there's a lot of things going on right now in this present climate that has people feeling fearful, people not feeling seen, accepted, or believed or even that they belong. I said, so this would be a perfect opportunity to combine those two. George Floyd, he was someone's son. He was a person, mm-hmm. a brother. He was a father. I know a lot of people talk about his criminal record, but if we put that to the side, he's still a person, a son, a brother, a father. And we have many people right now who are sons, fathers, mothers, sisters, daughters that are being stripped and taken away from their families and sent to other places. And so I didn't want this to be purely just George Floyd. I didn't want this to be a Black issue. Mm-hmm. I wanted this to be a community issue that's going to bring awareness to all of the issues that different marginalized communities are facing. So with that in mind, we wanted people to feel loved. We wanted people, a lot of people right now are feeling like they're in a twilight zone. They're feeling like they're on some type of island all by themselves, and they're wondering if other people are seeing what's going on. They're wondering if other people are feeling like, you know, they're feeling. And so I felt like this was a good event to bring people together so that they can feel that love. They can feel like they belong here. They can feel seen. And they can also talk about the issues that their communities face.
Go ahead. I was going to say part of the title is WASA Unites in Love. Mm-hmm. And I think that is vitally important at this time because the idea of uniting is not right now happening in a lot of areas, is it? And to have an opportunity, I think, and to be able to hear these stories is something that is vitally important, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, there are a lot of people that are having rallies and protests, and rightfully so. I didn't want this to be an event where we're screaming or yelling at someone. To me, I feel like that pushes people away. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be where we brought people in. That we spoke to their heart and we educated their mind.
When you look at the last 5 years, actually, I was having a conversation with somebody recently because when you look back to 5 years ago, and it was not just George Floyd and the issues that came out and the protests and the voices being raised about that issue. We were in the midst of COVID as well. And I was mm-hmm. talking to somebody and we were speaking about how 5 years ago, we don't remember it this way now, but there was a consensus that, hey, we needed to do something in terms of sacrificing, in terms of trying to squash COVID. And also in the aftermath of George Floyd, I think there was a consensus for a lot of people that you can't be doing those kind of things, that you are right, that he is a person and that we all have these human rights. But now as time has gone by, I think you said it. There are people that point out, well, he had a criminal record, or well, this or that. It feels as though that we have to maybe take a step back and remember what was going on 5 years ago and maybe the mindset of a lot of people and what the truth is about what happened 5 years ago as it has it, what it means today. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that does. There was a worldwide response. I don't know if it was because, you know, we were at a standstill with COVID. And so people actually saw and they had to lean in. I think that's why the response was as huge as it was. But I want this rally to have the same type of response, mm-hmm. a global response that's saying that, you know, everyone deserves civil liberties. Everyone deserves justice, due process. Everyone deserves just the right to get up and go to work and come mm-hmm. home and just take care of their families.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking to LaTanya Campbell. Is coming up on Saturday, May 24th, 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the 400 block in downtown Wausau. Wausau Unites in Love, remembering George Floyd, Rally for Justice and Freedom. You mentioned the fact that this event not only honors the late George Floyd, but recognizes those living in marginalized communities as well. Is there a thought on who some of these other marginalized communities that will be involved in this event are?
Yes. So we have people from the African-American community, women. We have people that are indigenous. We have people that are Latino, Mexican, Asian, refugees, the LGBTQIA communities, and also the faith communities. So we wanted to have representation of the people that actually live here in this community.
We will hear the rest of my conversation with LaTanya Campbell about this Saturday's event coming up in just over 20 minutes at 7:52 this morning. But coming up next, it will be a look at the farm news or information update, and then back to more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
There's a lot of ways that animal disease and insects can make their way into the United States. What many farmers may not realize, you've got a four-legged partner fighting for you. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. It's called the Beagle Brigade, and these four-legged warriors are generally working international airports, trying to sniff through a lot of luggage, a lot of carry-ons, to make sure that there's nothing that can contaminate U.S. agriculture inside. Valerie Wu is one of the handlers of the Beagle Brigade. They work the Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C., and she explains what their day looks like.
We work a 10-hour shift. Our partners are with us for the majority of that shift. We do kennel all of our dogs. They don't live at home with us. Because they are primarily looking for food, places like the kitchen or the dining room would be problematic areas for training. And a lot of our dogs have never been pets. A lot of them have been hunting dogs or things of that nature.
Valerie Wu, one of the Beagle Brigade handlers with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. They say the Beagle Brigade has a 95% success rate.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Friday, the barrel cheese was up 6 at 188. 40-pound block cheese up 3.25 at 193. Double A butter up a penny, 234.25 per pound. This morning in Chicago, June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 3, 1926. July corn's up 3. December new crop up 2 at 437. July beans are up a nickel. November new crop up 3 at 1039. And July wheat, 6 cents stronger, 531 a bushel. That's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand so far on a Monday morning. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yankee.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. A little breezy at times, especially later this afternoon. Tonight, breezy with showers after midnight, or low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, including the state Republican convention with our friends at Wisconsin Watch and State Senator Royce on the Joint Finance Committee budget process. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, but we're not Pat Kreitlow. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I've got Greg Bach over here on the board. We are Bach and the Doc. I'm getting used to it. I set you up that time.
Very good. Much. I appreciate
it. And for this segment, we are joined by Sheboygan's own Alan Tipple. Alan is the Wisconsin Youth Organizing Manager with Men for Choice. Thanks for joining us this morning, Alan.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So tell us about Men for Choice. We hear a lot about women advocating for choice, but where do men fit in here?
Yeah. So Men for Choice is an org that I work for right now, and we're kind of just centered around getting mainly young men, but any men of any age involved in the fight for reproductive freedom, because this is not a fight just for women. This is also a fight for all of our healthcare and all of our rights.
Why? I mean, I see
That's
it, obviously, you know, I'm an OBGYN doctor. These are my patients, but I have four sons, and we have a lot of oddly dinner table talk that also includes reproductive rights and abortion. That's just normal for us, but that is not, I think, common for most families, and definitely for a lot of men of all ages. Like you said, why do men need to care? Why are they part of this conversation?
Yeah, well, I think the problem that we're seeing right now is that men aren't a part of the conversation. I mean, you know, obviously women and the people directly affected should be leading the conversation, but men are just sitting back and not being involved at all. And the reason why they should be involved is because reproductive health and abortion access is more than just a woman's issue. It's a family issue. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know how many people have seen those kind of stories out there, but there are people who, because they can't get this health care, are not able to have children in the future because of the complications they have. Or, you know, women will die because of what's going on because they can't get this access. And I think the men out there need to realize that if you want to have a family and you want a family plan effectively and responsibly, you need to have that option available to you. And so it's not just a woman's issue. It's also a family planning issue. And I think a lot of men don't really think that far ahead.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely had these conversations with men because I'm so out there. And I think people know that I encourage these conversations. Mm-hmm. And men of in their 60s have told me about the abortion that they and their girlfriend at the time in college went through and how they still recognize how it has affected their lives. But I think that there are a lot of men out there who do have stories, but they don't either feel like they know how to tell these stories or that they should be telling these stories because it doesn't belong to them. How would you talk with those folks who have these stories but just don't have the pathway to make that happen?
Yeah, I think this we've identified that there are some main barriers to men getting involved in the fight for reproductive freedom. And one of those is not knowing what avenue to get involved with. Mm-hmm. You know, for, you know, a lot of these spaces tend to be very women dominated for, I think, very obvious reasons. But that can make men think that it's not, you know, their place to speak up or talk about the ways that it's also affected them in a negative way. And I think the way that I would encourage men to talk about these personal stories they've had is to, you know, take a look at who the main proponents for anti-choice legislation are. They're mainly men. You know, the people who are advocating against women's right to choose are men. And so we need men on our side as well to explain why they support reproductive rights, their personal experiences with them. And I think that will, you know, that kind of shows a more well-rounded perspective of the pro-choice side, you know.
Yeah. And I think that my gut tells me that this was a major factor in the last presidential cycle. We saw amongst young people, most women voted for Democrats because Democrats are on the side of reproductive choice. Most young men voted for Republicans, maybe not understanding, acknowledging. We didn't think that it was going to be as split as it was, but it was a pretty well-defined split.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, as a young man myself, it was very scary to see that many of my peers were, because for the longest time I'd been hearing that we were the most progressive generation, right? Gen Z is going to change up the political landscape. We're going to be different. We're going to be more progressive. And seeing this kind of shift because of these like online right-wing influencers, this kind of anti-women attitude that's been kind of spreading online, it was very scary to see. And I think it's, but I think that despite that, there are still the majority of young men support reproductive rights. They just didn't see it as their issue in this last election, like I think you were referencing.
Hey, and the hope with Men for Choice is to help young men understand how impactful this is and to encourage them to engage on a level where it makes it obviously a monumental difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like as I said before, there are a few main barriers that we've identified that young men have. One of those is identifying it as not just a woman's issue, as also a men's issue, a family planning issue. Another one is just understanding the harm that a lot of these abortion bans have. I've had a lot of conversations with young men and older men about this. And the most prevailing thing I've found out is that they just don't really know much about the abortion laws in their state, which, you know, if they don't have a partner who's needed to get an abortion and they don't need to get abortions themselves, why would you need to know those laws? But then they don't really understand all of the harm that is being caused because they don't know what the laws are.
What are you hearing from people that you're engaging with as you're having these conversations? Are you finding that most people have a sense of what's going on here? Or is this surprising to them when you help them understand that they are actually part of this conversation?
A lot of people are surprised, I would say. Which I guess is kind of scary, but it's good to have those conversations. But a lot of people seem to be very surprised by the laws in their state when they don't know what's going on. They tend to know like, oh, yeah, I know that our state has so-and-so weak ban or so-and-so weeks restriction, but they don't know about all the small bits. Like that there are these specific restrictions on where you can get abortions. They don't know about all the crazy loopholes that they make abortion clinics jump through. They don't know about the ways that you have to, you know, in Wisconsin, you have to do 2 visits to a doctor. You can't get the incredibly safe abortion pill mailed to you. You have to go in person to get it. All these little small things that just set up roadblocks in people's way to get the healthcare they need. They're usually very surprised about those, and they don't understand how difficult it is or how bad it is. I think it's also, they're also very surprised often about the impacts. People usually think of abortion as this, it's some, you know, young college girl who had an accident and is now going to get an abortion. But a lot of the people who get abortions, as I'm sure you know, are already parents themselves. And as I said before, are making a family planning decision. And a lot of times also it's because of a complication that happens in the pregnancy. And a lot of men are very surprised about that. A lot of men are never really thought about it in that way because they just don't think about it too much.
Well, so much of it doesn't make sense, don't you think? I mean, especially things like waiting periods, having to get an ultrasound, all of this interference, it just defies common sense. So it's no wonder that when men are confronted with these irrational laws, they're like, really? How could that possibly be? It shouldn't be.
It is, yeah.
But it is. So how do you reach out to these folks? How do you get in touch with them so that you can have these conversations? I think that's one of the biggest barriers that I see these days is we're all in our social media rabbit holes. So how, and it's easy to message to our like-minded people, but how do you get outside of that to have these conversations?
We try to, our main form is through relational organizing. So we do a 10-week fellowship that men, that young men can come into, that that's 10 weeks of educating them on what the state of abortion is in the United States, how to take action. We put in some media training in there, some organizing training. And at the end of these 10 weeks that these guys have gone through and learned more and learned these communication methods and these organizing methods, they bring in their friends to have these conversations that I was just talking to you about, where we talk about, where we kind of synthesize the information we've gone over in the fellowship. We talk about what's going on, how they can take action, and kind of make them realize the impacts. And that's where I've seen a lot of these like surprising results, where men who are pro-choice come into these conversations and realize how much worse it is than they had previously thought, or how they realize how they actually do need to like speak up and be involved as well. And so, sorry.
No, you continue, please.
Yeah. And so we get these guys to bring in their friends because the most the people who are going to listen to you the most are the people that are your friends and that trust you with that information. And so by having friends reach out to friends, it's makes it a lot more comfortable conversation to have because you trust the people that are talking to you about it.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say. So you're not just cold calling people and saying, hey, fellas, you need to worry or you need to be concerned about abortion. You're actually reaching out to people who are interested. You're bringing them into this fellowship program, and then you're having them have these conversations with their friends in a trusted environment, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What does this fellowship look like? Is it something where people have to travel and you've got extensive cost associated with that? Or is it, how accessible is it for someone who might be listening and interested in participating?
It's very, very accessible. It's entirely online, entirely virtual. We meet twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays, and it's a total of 2.5 hours over the week. So 1.5 hour on Monday, 1 hour on Thursday. I did the fellowship program when I was in my senior year of college, working a job on the weekend, doing full-time school during the week, and still going out and having fun with my friends. And I was able to fit the fellowship in there. And as you can see, now that I've graduated, I can continue a career in what I am passionate about with Men for Choice still. So even though I was extremely busy at the time, I was still able to make a pretty good impression during the fellowship. But yeah, extremely accessible. As long as you've got a laptop, you can plug in from anywhere.
You could choose to do a lot of different things. And in the last minute of our time together, why Men for Choice?
Well, the fight for reproductive freedom in the United States is going to be a tough one going into the future. We've seen a lot of challenges. And it's important that people have the healthcare that they need and to live happy, healthy lives. And being able to support the women in your life by being a man for choice is important in pursuing that goal, and in being able to give your spouse and your future family the options that you need and want. And so, yeah, I think that's about it.
That's amazing, Alan. Alan Tipple, Wisconsin Youth Organizing Manager with Men for Choice. If people want more information, they can go to men4choice.org. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at LoveLost.com.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning once again. I'm Chad Holmes. You are listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Time to find out what's going on here in Wausau and Central Wisconsin. Earlier in the hour began a conversation that I had with LaTanya Campbell, one of the organizers of this Saturday's event, Wausau Unites in Love, remembering George Floyd Rally for Justice and Freedom. It'll be held this Saturday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the 400 block in downtown Wausau. This peaceful rally not only honors the late George Floyd, but recognizes those living in marginalized communities. So here is the remainder of my conversation with LaTanya Campbell. Kind of a hard question, but I imagine that the folks who will be part of this event, is there an underlining theme outside of just having these folks, as we sit here in mid-May of 2025, there was so much tension and I think fear in a lot of different communities. What do you think that the ultimate message that you and others that will be part of this rally are going to try to have people take away when they get to 2 o'clock on May 24th? Because I do think that, and I was talking to another guest earlier in the week, that there's so much going on right now. And that there's so much that is almost overwhelming to a lot of people, just adding to the stresses of everyday life. What is the ultimate takeaway that you're going to be trying to maybe build during those 3 hours on May 24th?
Well, there's strength in solidarity, right? That's what we saw with the George Floyd protest. That's what we're trying to have with Wausau Unites in Love. So when you know better, do better, right? The actual message that we want to say, that it's not a political, this is not a political message at all. Mm-hmm. This is a humanity message, that we must come together and do what's right to create real and lasting change. We must care about our brothers and our sisters, and they don't have to look like us. They don't have to love like us. They don't have to believe like us, but we must support and love each other.
How much of importance is just the conversation? And I ask that because there was a story in one of our local news sources, I think about a week or two ago, talking about this, and they had a link on their Facebook page, and people commented on it, and there was, like, in some cases, back and forth, and some folks basically, like you said, saying, well, why are we honoring George Floyd? He had a record and such. But a situation like this, coming together like this, is a chance to talk maybe to those folks that may not think of things in the way that, hey, we all have the right to live, the right to try to make our lives better, even if there are potholes on that road to wherever we're heading. I imagine the conversations that will be had is something that's also very important involving in this event.
It is, and I'm hoping that people that do attend the rally, they will get some necessary tools that they need to continue these conversations. This isn't a one and done. Everybody that goes, they can talk to their family, their friends, their colleagues, and then that conversation can keep growing and growing and growing. I always recommend people to, you know, check out some resources and, read some books, look at the history and kind of look at how history is repeating itself, and take you out of it. So many times people are defensive and they're not willing to listen. They're not willing to understand. They're listening to attack, to defend. And so I just invite people to just take themselves out of it, listen to understand, and want to do better. Because I honestly feel like when the lowest of us are in a good place, that means the rest of us are in an amazing place.
When you have the conversations, I'm kind of curious, because you obviously have a lot of conversations with folks about a lot of these issues, big picture issues. What are some of the tools that you use in order to maybe have folks that may not be as informed as you are, may just not have the information that you have, in order to educate in some way? Are there any tools that maybe you could share with us that for these conversations? Because obviously, within families, there's a lot of differences of opinion and a lot of these different kind of issues. What kind of tools do you use in terms of your conversations?
I usually try to give them a lot of resources, and I usually try to listen to understand from their point of view. And trying to, and as hard as it is to take myself out of it, being a Black woman, I try to sit in that space where they're coming from and ask questions. And a lot of times when you ask questions, some people tend to get insight. And then that some of those bells ring off, like, oh, wait a minute. Why is this? Why is that? I get them to be interested and curious so they can go dig in further for themselves.
I think something you just said about listening, that's something that I think in any circumstance, as we try to navigate through these times, if you just take that moment where you don't get overly upset, because it's very easy in some of these conversations to get upset, to take that moment just to listen and then to have the conversation, I imagine that's one way to move the rock up the hill that we're trying to do right now, isn't it?
Right. And I feel like a lot of people feel like something is being taken away from them. You hear that with the DEI conversation, right, which doesn't even encompass what DEI actually means. But they feel like they're being taken away from something. But right now, a lot of people are losing their jobs. A lot of people are losing their benefits. A lot of people are losing their homes and their farms. It's time that everybody kind of stood together.
And I guess that is the ultimate about this event. Again, coming up on Saturday, May 24th, 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the 400 block here in downtown Wausau. Wausau Unites in Love, Remembering George Floyd, Rally for Justice and Freedom. And as you said, it's an opportunity for people to come together, listen and talk. And I imagine that anybody out there that's tuned in, LaTanya, it really is a welcoming event, isn't it?
It is. We are going to have it for family friendly. There will be food available for kids are welcome. It is free. Mm-hmm. We are going to have a couple dance performances. We want it to be a place where you are getting informed, but you're being educated, and you understand the nature of what's going on. but that you don't feel attacked, you don't feel threatened, you don't feel dehumanized.
Latanya Campbell, again, don't forget that this Saturday, WASA Unites in Love, remembering George Floyd Rally for Justice and Freedom, 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the 400 block in downtown WASA. We're going to have an information update for the top of the hour, and then another hour of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up here on 98.9 WXCO.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Joe Biden thanking well-wishers after the former president's diagnosis of advanced prostate cancer.
There's been spread to the bones, which by definition means it is metastatic. But the good news is it is hormone responsive.
CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder. President Trump speaking with Russian President Vladimir Putin shortly, hoping to make progress towards a Ukraine ceasefire. John Quigley, an emeritus professor at Ohio State.
It's obviously not going to be a full resolution of the whole situation. But if anything can be done to move in that direction, it will be positive.
The House Budget Committee's Republican majority finally passed President Trump's economic package last night. Speaker Mike Johnson.
We'll save the largest amount of money that's been saved in at least several decades and probably arguably in the whole history of the country.
The bill hikes spending for the military and immigration enforcement, extends income tax cuts and cuts back.